You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the William Hill Daily Racing Podcast. This time we're looking ahead to the third and final day of action at HQ as the Craven meeting comes to a close for another year on Thursday. We've also got action from Cheltenham as well, and plenty more live racing to come on Racing Radio throughout the afternoon and into the evening. So make sure you're with us for that here on the podcast. My name's John Gibby. Craig Forsyth is with me. Hello, Craig.
Hello, John. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Fat season just getting underway, obviously. Craven meetings. This is an exciting time of year for you?
Yeah, very much so. I think, although, to be honest, I was a little bit flat the first day. You know, there was a lot of well-backed horses at Newmarket that won. The money seemed to be right, and the ones that took a big walk in the market didn't seem to perform so well. A little bit of a bias towards front runners, but we seen some cracking stuff, didn't we, on Wednesday. And really some really exciting races, and much more exciting than the first day for me.
Well, speaking of the Wednesday, this is now, of course, when the feature race of the week, the Craven Stakes, is. And we're recording this right after this year's renewal of the Craven. Let's remind ourselves of what happened in the closing stages.
Watan Zakuski, set piece there on the outside. Momkin, Skardu is coming with a terrific looking run on the outside. Set piece and Skardu now go on. Skardu in front now from set piece. Momkin is running a personal best. Skardu and Momkin go on late in the day. Skardu has won the Craven Stakes for William Haggis.
That's Skardu winning the Craven Stakes this year for James Doyle and William Haggis. Craig Forsyth is with me to discuss this just moments after the race itself, on only second start for the Haggis team here, Craig, and has beaten the well-touted Godolphin pair in the process as well, and some other useful animals in behind as well, with a good performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we've all, like I said, recording this 5 minutes after the race, and we haven't got any figures or times or sectionals or anything to work with, but, you know, visually, it looked like they went a good gallop in the early stages. Watan under Ryan Moore seemed to set what looked strong fractions. Zakowski, I thought, you know, was up there throughout. And I think his performance can be slightly marked up given his position, finishing position, certainly, compared to Richard Hannon's runner, who was another front runner. But Skardu was ridden with a fair bit of confidence, and James Doyle always looked to have a fair bit under him, and he's fought well, he's travelled well, and he's really built on his one win in a maiden race at Newmarket last September. And listening to Willie Haggis's interview discussing Skardu's chances there in the week, and he described him as a horse that doesn't show a massive amount at home in his work, hence the reason he won 33-1 on debut. And he was well backed ahead of the Craven. He was very, very positive in the market and travelled and found plenty for pressure. So, very good performance. Have we seen a Guineas winner, John? Probably not.
Do you think that the horse is in behind? I want to get to Royal Marine in a minute, but obviously we've seen some nice runs, some promising runs from a number of the horses in the race here. Do you think we could be seeing horses that maybe they might not be classic winners but could take the step up to Group 1 level potentially?
Yes. Royal Marine obviously won a Group 1 last year in France. And he's a horse that didn't get the clearest of passages. He also, when he did make his move in the closing stages, he was on the worst part of the track. So you can slightly mark up his performance. But the fact that he came from off the pace, it was the other Godolphin runner that would be of more interest for me moving forward. He only had the one start prior to the Craven, which came in a novice event in November. There wasn't anything to write home about with the overall time he clocked on that occasion when he beat Headman. But the way he finished that race, the final 3 furlong sectional, suggests he's a quick horse. And he just got involved in a battle too soon on his second start in Group 3 company at Newmarket, and he certainly won I think that will continue his improvement throughout the season. And I think he's one that I would take from the race. Also taking nothing away from the winner, who travelled like a nice horse.
You mentioned Royal Marine, obviously was sent off favourite, and we've been very strongly backed earlier in the week, already a Group 1 winner. Had a lot of trouble in running. How much do you put that down to the decisions that were made by Christophe Soumillon, and how much of that is just one of those things?
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, flat racing. We've seen this week already. You know, you've got to be in the right place. And, you know, if you haven't got that early speed, being up against the inside on that rail, you will meet trouble. And that was certainly the case. And, you know, the horse had little chance. I think you've got to basically draw a line through the run, if anything. And, you know, I think he'll be, or certainly will get the chance to prove himself a much better horse than he was able to show on Wednesday.
OK, well, that's the Craven Stakes. Let's finish with the looking back now and start looking ahead to Thursday's action. You've got two selections for us for the day's racing. I believe they're both coming Newmarket as well.
Yeah, we're going to start off in the 3 o'clock, 7 furlongs conditions race for three-year-olds, John. Got Dirty Rascal in here for Richard Hannon, a horse that won a couple of times last year at Windsor, and then he won a nursery off a mark of 85. He was a really good two-year-old. But, you know, he would look the type for me that probably capable of producing his best at that age as a juvenile. You know, I don't know how much more improvement he has to come. There may be one or two in here that can improve past him. Fox Champion certainly improved on his first start this year at Doncaster. I thought he was slightly fortunate to win that race, and I think they've got to give credit to Sylvester D'Souza, who always had his mount in the right place.
He's had a good start to life as the leading jockey for King Power Racing, hasn't he?
Very much so, and you can just see the turnaround in their fortunes. And I think a lot of that is to do with Sylvester D'Souza. Obviously, they do have some very nice young horses. They'll have some well-handicapped horses as well. But Sylvester D'Souza, you know, champion jockey, fantastic. And he always had Fox Champion in the right place at Doncaster. He beat Franz Kafka on that occasion, who was an unlucky loser. I think with a clearer passage, the John Gosden horse would have probably won. So, again, I've got slight doubts overall what Fox Champion actually achieved on his first start, although it was a big step forward from his two-year-old form. But the one I like in here is the John Gosden horse, Al Masherick. Only had the one start. We've seen John send so many nice horses to Newcastle for their debuts. And this was a horse who was slowly away, showed signs of greenness in the early stages. He ended up on the very unfavoured part of the track, Newcastle, which we call Lane 1 on the far side, John. It's never a place you really want to see a horse you've backed. But this horse oozed confidence. You know, Jim Crowley eased him to the front. He won with a fair bit in hand. He looks a type that will improve massively this year. He's very interesting. I think he can get off to a winning start in the 3 o'clock in this conditions race.
Okay, that's the 3 o'clock conditions race. I believe your other pick runs in the feature race on the Thursday at Newmarket, the other Sefton.
Yeah, very good renewal. Yeah, very competitive. Probably one of the best races of the 3 days. Of course, we've got last year's winner in here in Forest Ranger, who was successful. He, you know, landed something of a shock last year. But I'm interested in the Charlie Appleby runner on his second start for the yard. Vintager, a horse who, I don't know if we all remember, but you have to go back to July of 2018 when he absolutely, you know, I wouldn't say ripped the handicap apart because Ripoff was second. Mm-hmm. But he won, you know, with a fair bit in hand of a mark of 102. He moved to the Charlie Appleby yard after that win. We didn't see him again until Maidan. In the end of February, he's had 56 days off. Slightly disappointing on that occasion, but I think this is a horse of huge potential for this year as a four-year-old, and he could win the Earl of Sefton Stakes. He is by Master Craftsman. Their progeny, you know, seem to relish a little bit cutting the ground, but this is a horse that proved at Newmarket on fast ground that he's capable of putting up a big show, and of course that was a personal best by some way under very similar conditions.
Vintager then for Craig in the Earl of Sefton at Newmarket on Thursday. You can hear all the action from Newmarket on Racing Radio throughout the afternoon and the rest of the day's tracks as well. Join us tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Craig, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.